So, continue our discussion about the wholesome and the skillful. And one of the definitions of what this kusala, wholesome or skillful, is that which results in happiness and is non-afflictive. So the idea that it doesn't cause harm, doesn't hurt us in any kind of way, that's one of the requirements for what's wholesome, and it brings happiness. And the word is results in happiness, and so meaning that there's a movement towards greater well-being, greater happiness. That's part of what wholesome is, but wholesome is also considered to be beneficial or healthy or good in and of itself. So it's both good in itself, and it has a further onward leading towards happiness. Because sometimes the wholesome is not automatically happy. We're practicing and making space and allowing for the growth of that over time. And we want to create a stable, strong foundation for happiness. So we're not so dependent on the changing nature of our experience, our life circumstances, are also the changing experience, changing nature of our physiology and our hormones and our tiredness and how much food we've eaten and all kinds of other things that can affect our mood. To have some kind of stability there because of the strength of these good qualities that have been developed in us over time. And when I first came to Buddhism, in Zen practice, there was very little discussion about that we're actually maturing and developing and growing through the practice, because there was a very strong tendency to point towards what was considered the absolute, what's ultimately true. So, for example, emptiness, to really see into the nature of emptiness, or to see into the nature of enlightenment here and now, and experience some kind of non-dual state. And as soon as we talk about growth, then we're into a dualism, or we're into gaining ideas, or we're into kind of missing the boat of really being here and discovering freedom right here and now. And there's some real wisdom to that kind of direct pointing to some kind of awakening or state of being. But it also can really miss or shortchange a hugely important natural part of the human being, and that is human beings, whether they want to or not, are constantly changing and growing and developing. Sometimes what's growing and developing is not healthy. So if someone has a habit of complaining or being angry or irritated, if they do that a lot, that's what grows inside. And so there's all this kind of unhealthy stuff that can grow by the repeated doing of it. And if we keep making space for what's good, then something different will happen and come up. And so even if we do this non-dual to directly pointing to reality, the whole system that we're in, the psychophysical system, will begin shifting and changing as a result of that. And it's possible to track that and see how people change and develop over time. And it's also possible to support that growth and development and move it along. When I was doing Zen practice, at some point in the monastery, I was made the gardener. And I would go around, and part of the job was to weed. That was the instructions, was to weed and let plants grow. And at some point I wondered whether, wasn't it okay also to weed the weeds of the mind? Weeding the mind, was that some kind of dualism? Was it some kind of gaining idea? Was some kind of conceit or missing the boat that we would notice there's weeds in the mind? And I didn't see there was any reason to see that my mind is any different than the garden. In the garden, I took care of weeds. Why not take care of the weeds of the mind as well, when I was angry or greedy or something? And so But as we kind of make space and take the weeds out, it makes room for something else to grow and develop. And this, so you find the teachings of the Buddha a great emphasis on this developing of growth. And I can't value it. I can't emphasize it enough that it creates a really good, strong strength or foundation that carries us stable into all kinds of challenges of our life. And I've known people who've relied on having kind of shortcuts to kind of mystical experiences or great states of consciousness or even kind of what felt like states of freedom. But they didn't really have this inner strength to hold that and to rest in that and to receive it and be influenced by it. And they would succumb back to their usual old habits, which are not so healthy. And then they would swing between these great states and then go back to where they were. So for the Buddha, the idea is to develop and cultivate these inner capacities so that we can hold some of the higher experiences of realization, of freedom that come with practice. And if the idea of these higher states of attainment or freedom is not so interesting for you, it's also that as we become stronger, develop these healthy qualities, we also are able to hold basic human experiences of love better. Our love is so much healthier and stable and not so fragile when all these other wholesome qualities have developed and grown in us. So the Buddha said, abandon what is unwholesome. So that just means, weed the mind of the weeds, the things that are not helpful. And also, what's unwholesome is what is afflictive, and which leads to the opposite of suffering. Opposite of happiness, it leads to suffering. So abandon what is unwholesome and devote yourself to wholesome conduct, this particular quotation. So to actively behave in ways which are beneficial, skillful, wholesome, for that is how you will grow, increase, and come to fulfillment in this Dharma that the Buddha was teaching. So part of what we're doing is living behavioral changes. So not just changing what we do, the quality of our inner attitudes and hearts, but actually making choices for how to behave differently and to choose those behaviors which are wholesome, beneficial. And so yesterday I read the 10 skillful actions, which are 10 wholesome things to do that helps this inner growth and development happen. One of the meanings of translations of kusala is as skillful. And that has a wonderful benefit to translate it as skillful because it tends not to have so much of a moralistic kind of weight to it. That even wholesome can seem moralistic, and some people are a little oppressed or it's heavy kind of to get close to that kind of language. But skillful is kind of free of that, and then you ask, skillful for what? Skillful for cultivating the path of liberation. Skillful for developing, all kinds of wonderful things we can develop, including skillful in developing the practice. Developing a skill is done by repeated engagement over and over and over again. And a lot of small movements sometimes to learn a skill. One of the skills that I've learned in the last 3 months, and I'm surprised, how I'm still learning the art of it. It seems like it's very, very simple, and I thought it was much simpler than it is, but I'm learning these very subtle distinctions that makes me more and more skillful. And actually the word skill in English comes from a Germanic word, in Norwegian at least, it's the word skille, and It means to distinguish or separate out. And that's the original kind of Germanic source of the word, to make distinctions, to separate out. And so I'm making a skill. I'm learning finer and finer little skills to make it easier and easier. And that is, my right eye now, I wear a contact and for these last few months. And putting that contact in, I'm getting better and better at. And sometimes it was a real challenge. It would fall out. It wouldn't get in right. I couldn't quite sometimes get it to work. And then over these months, doing it day after day after day, and paying attention to what I'm doing, paying attention to exactly the position of the fingers, where the contact fits in my fingers, all these little details, and I'm getting better and better. And it was surprisingly now, it's just like so easy when it's done right. It's just like such a beautiful, smooth, easy kind of graceful kind of. It just, the contact just slides right up on the eye, just sits there with no effort on my part. It's just like almost like it wants to be there and sit there on the on the eyeball. And so you know, I'm still learning skills in my old age, right? So that's a wonderful skill I'm learning. But these subtle little distinctions. Same thing happens in doing Buddhist practice. We're learning these subtle distinctions in our posture and how to sit, and we develop our meditation posture that's more and more skillful or wholesome or beneficial. We're developing all these little skills in how to be with the breath and how to pay attention to the breath. We're learning all the little movements of the mind. Slowly, incrementally, we learn what it's like to be mindful, what it's like to let go, what it's like to, where to focus and how to focus, and how to concentrate, and how to be equanimous, and how to, what kind of effort to make and energy to make, just the right amount of effort, not too much and too little. And this is partly learned not because you read a book and say, this is the formula, what you do, but rather it's through engagement over and over and over again. Like a swimmer who's an athlete who's swimming, training for competitive racing, they learn ever refined distinctions in how they move their arm in the water to make the least resistance, get the most push off the water. So same thing in meditation, we learn the body, the system, even unconsciously, there's this growth and development of skills. And so when we talk about meditation practice, rather than how we live in our interpersonal lives, the word kusala is sometimes better translated as skill. And we're doing what's skillful. We're developing certain kinds of skills. And the metaphor the Buddha uses he uses metaphors that are clearly having to do with skills that people develop. So developing the five faculties, which was the theme for the first 5 weeks of these YouTube 7 a.m. Teachings I did starting last March, the metaphor used for the five faculties was tuning and playing a lute, and a five-stringed lute. And you know, you learn how to tune it better and better, you learn how to play it better and better. And so we're learning these five strings inside of us, and slowly we learn to tune them and play them. For mindfulness practice, the metaphor there is also developing a skill, and that is learning to cook. And cooking also is a skill that's learned over time. And the more we cook a dish, the simpler, straightforward, easier, more creative we can get. And we develop a skill that we're awkward when we first began with the recipe and kind of were trying to put it all together and figure out how it all worked. So a skilled meditator, skilled mindfulness practitioner is like a skilled cook, according to the Buddha. So this idea of developing a skill, and so a skill grows through time, and as certain skills develop, they make room for other good qualities to develop and grow as well. And so the theme for today is the idea of growth, kind of inner growth of our good qualities, our abilities, our mental capacities, our mental attitudes, a growth in what's beneficial that is a little bit different than making something happen, but allowing for this natural process of growing that is slow, comes from repetition over and over again, doing the same thing over and over again, doing kindness over and over again, friendliness, generosity over and over again. We're developing a skill and making finer distinction in all kinds of ways that benefit us and hopefully benefit others. And in such a way that over time, something's growing and thriving. There's an abundance. There's a fulfilling out of something really marvelous within us. And so to make room for that, to recognize that that's part of what we're doing here, so we have the patience to continue and keep going. And also the ability to recognize that it's not just about experiencing emptiness or strong states of concentration. There's all these things we're cultivating and developing and become skilled for that will support us. So I'll talk more about some of the wholesome skills that are developed in the next couple of days, next few days. So thank you very much. May you study, reflect on ways that you have grown in wholesome qualities. How over the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, have you changed and grown in wholesome, beneficial ways with your inner life and how you live your life? And how did that steady, slow growth happen for you? So thank you.